2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not pressed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. What does Paul mean in verse 7? He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Last week, as a few of us were talking in the foyer, we got to talking to Stacy Bell. I don't know if Stacy may have headed home to you. But Stacy and Sam, his brother, come up here every summer. And the question I invariably ask them is, how are the fishing, and have you found any gold? Because they're prospectors. And what Stacy told me this summer was that they didn't do as much prospecting as they usually do, plus they're getting older. His brother Sam's knees are bothering him, and he can replace. And it's a lot of hard work. And so Gary and I were back there talking to him about the gold, and we've been fishing down the Arkansas River the Sunday afternoon before, and we'd been sort of mesmerized by little pockets of sand that glitter. And we couldn't resist the temptation to reach down there and try a hand pan. Well, Stacy told us it was pretty foolish. He said, "That's not gold. That's shame." Remember that song, "All the Glitters"? It's not gold. He said, if there were gold in that particular spot, he said, it's steam. Real deep. And what he and Sam do, his brother, is that when they are prospecting for gold, they try to move big rocks and then dig deep in stream underneath those rocks and then cane. Because this gold is so heavy, it sinks to the bottom. And Gary then said, but it stops at clay, doesn't it? David said, yeah. It stops at clay. And so in my mind's eye, I was raised in Oklahoma, and there's lots of sand, and there's lots of clay. And usually clay was tight and slick. And I imagined this clay bank covered with gold. I wish. And here you come. What was it, 21 or 27 feet? About 24 feet there at the graph pit. He said, we know that there's a layer of clay down there, that low, so we drilled through. He said, I bet if we dug down that deep, we should have 2 pins of water and whatever else. He said, I bet there's gold laying in that bed of clay. Well, that little phrase kept going through my mind all week. And then Wednesday night, whenever we sang this song in our singing night, from Bet's, Clay Will Rise. To meet our Lord and King up yonder in the skies. And I thought to this verse, and I thought that's the way the Lord works with us. We are but earthen vessels. We are but pot in God's kitchen. And yet God has intentions for us. He has filled us with something that is serviceable to Him. What was Paul's subject as he talked there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? What is he putting forth? What is he promoting? He says, we don't practice underhanded ways because we have in our possession what? The truth. We don't have to tamper with what's been revealed to us because it's God's word. And he says, we have that treasure in earthen vessels. We are but pieces of clay. That which God has created to serve a purpose. Well, there's some very nice pottery in the world. I don't know that you're necessarily a collector. If you are, you might recognize that particular design and the Indian tribe that makes it. I couldn't have told you before working on this lesson. The Hopi Indians. That's a particular tree that we're a little later on in the lesson. We'll see some Greek pottery. Very old, possibly as old as 500 years before Christ. This, I don't believe, is that old. Generally, the pottery we find today from Indian artifacts are bits and pieces, shards of clay. But what this reminds us of is that clay bed that I mentioned before in Oklahoma. And I can remember going around the in Oklahoma and delving into some of that clay, pulling it up, and it being very pliable. And I remember making a hamburger patty out of one. And then I took a key that I had, and I pressed that key into the clay. Very easy to do. Pulled the key out, wiped it off, put it back in my pocket, and set that particular sphere in the sun. What happened? Well, it got hard. It took the shape that I had imprinted upon. Very feeble attempt compared to something like this. But what it reminds me of is myself. What, from what did God make Adam? From the dust of the earth. When Paul says he has given this treasure in earthen vessels, he's talking about your link and my link to soil, to clay. We're only here but for a little time. Will we, while we are pliable, allow God to mold us and to shape us into something that he can use? Can we, like Paul, say, I have yielded myself to God? What Paul definitely points to is that I am mortal. I am clay. I, in and of myself, am bread. And without the master's touch, useless. Because God must get a hold of me, Lord. You know what God is good at? Making do. That is what he's good at. God is taking what's available to him and making out of that something useful. I may think that I'm worthless and should just be discarded. But look what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start with verse 26. Special emphasis upon verse 28. For consider Paul, brethren, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. And what Paul is doing is he's looking out over the congregation of the Corinthians and he says, what are your credentials? Now, I had preached at a congregation one time that there were probably as many doctorates in the audience as there were those who had simply graduated from high school because they were university students. There was doctor this and doctor that, and many of them had their doctorates in religion. Here I was, a college boy, just about to graduate from Abilene Christian University and given the opportunity to speak to the university church on Sunday morning. Talk about a little self that was scared to death. I thought, what am I living here? But Paul looked out over the Corinthians and he says, I want to tell you, brethren, there's not many of you that's got their doctorate degree out there. There's not many of you who are of noble birth. Any of you have the title of sir granted to you by the queen? Of course, that title is sort of being tarnished, but some of the ones that are being called servant now. But he says, not many of you would be looked up to by the world. You know what Paul was saying to the Corinthians? God didn't have a whole lot of work to do when he got to your place. You feel that way sometimes? In fact, God chose what is low. God chose what is foolish. God chose what is weak. Why? Verse 28, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God makes do. His power is transcendent. When Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the transcendent power of God might be made manifest, what he was saying was, you are of earth, but it's because God has been allowed to work in you. Transcendent means power beyond measure. Have you ever seen any of those remakes on TV? I've never watched one of those shows, except for the promos that they put. If they take an ugly duckling, sometimes they come out with an ugly duckling. They take an ugly duckling and they turn him into somebody that's presentable. Moving the bags from the eyes, straightening the teeth, coloring the hair, shortening them, whatever they do. But we see transformations taking place. And you may have secretly wished for something like that. Maybe they could take me and just do wonders. It would depend upon the skill level. And the resources, right, of the person doing the job. Think about what God can do with you and with me. What's Paul saying? I am an earthen vessel. I am but a lowly pot. But in God's hands, the possibilities are endless. Why? Because his power is beyond measure. It's transcendent power. What God does is enable mankind. Remember, Jesus was talking to his disciples toward the end of his life. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Verse 15. He said to his disciples, I want you to understand something. You are not my slaves. I have taken hold of you. I have molded you for 3 years. I have brought you into the sphere of my power and my counsel for a reason. Listen to what he says. Verse 15, John chapter 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, love one another. What was Jesus saying to his disciples? He said to them, you are my friends, and I have given you that which is more powerful than anything else. I have placed within you my teaching. I have told you the Father's will. What did Paul call that? Treasure. Pauline got this particular pot for her birthday, and when I gave it to her, it was full of gold. Hershey kisses, Hershey candies wrapped in gold, full, right? Jesus is saying to his disciples, Paul is saying to those who will listen through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has filled us with treasure. His own revealed will. His name is Willard. He is a country boy. His clothes were ill-fitting. His face was homely. His voice lacked power and strength. His demeanor was mousy. And you'd think he was a further saint who preached the gospel. He was fine. He might wonder. And yet that man just stood up and bowed. His grasp was gripping, but that made him insecure to the church. I remember loving that man, his faithfulness, for his willingness to sacrifice all to serve his master, his minister. He was the earthen vessel. Does he lead himself without power? For I know willing and still preach you gospel. But in his presence at a bedside of someone in the hospital. Not in a great voice of oratory, but in his kindliness as he sat next to someone who had lost a loved one and is grieving. Willard could sit and listen to you, and when you got there, you felt that because you knew, you heard every word you said to him. Remember going into the church, our office went to in the mid-November. Willard was sitting behind his desk or the podium. He was all shivering. I said, Willard, what are you doing? He said, well, he said, I just want to see how long I can go before I turn on the TV. That was Willard. He was going to take the church every nickel, every penny he could. Even if it meant sitting at his desk with a coat on, because every cent mattered for the Lord. I went home and turned, went back to my office and turned the heat up. I wasn't as concerned about things as Willard was. I can't think straight when a people checking. A holy man. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose that which is nothing to bring to naught things that are. When God is allowed to make his imprint, I become a lowly piece of clay filled with gold. That's God's transcendent power. Enabling, empowering, producing within you and me, if we'll but allow, wonderful opportunity, a vessel of service. I'm enabled. I'm empowered. I am entrusted. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 13, he said it was like what? Treasure hidden in the future. Like gold, 24 feet thin. A man went to digging and he found this treasure and immediately covered it back up so he could go out and do what? He could buy that piece of property. You ever bought a piece of property to build a house on? A barn? Have you looked at this house back here lately? It's turning into a barn. Did you see that? Oh, he pointed that out to me today. This, for the longest, said, look, I guess you can buy a house farm there. But I bought pieces of property before, and I'm sure you've been involved or know someone who has, and you just visualize the possibility of what can be done with this piece of property. You think the property's worth this now, but if I can get a hold of it and turn it into something grander, put a house on it, it'll be worth so much more. This man found a treasure. He buried it again, went out and bought the land so that he could develop what he had found. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Does that agree with what Paul said? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. In fact, Paul, writing to the Colossians, says to them that that which is hidden in Christ is a treasure of wisdom and of knowledge. You ever thought that what you've been taught in your studying of the scriptures makes everything else pale in comparison to them? I've said at the feet of wise men, not spiritually wise men, just wise men. I've listened to programs on TV from those who have their doctorates degree in particular areas and think how they've missed it for me. How they don't understand what the true meaning of life is and what our purpose here is on earth. Why? Because they're blind to God's faith. Paul said to the Colossians, brethren, I want you to understand that that which you have been given is a treasure of wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus. What was it Jesus said to his disciples? I no longer call you servants because servants don't know what their master's will is. I call you friends because I have given to you the will of God. We have within our possession gold. That which is so precious that if the world only understood, they too would give their lives in order to attain them. Not simply the price of a piece of property to have that treasure, but everything they own. Paul says he declares to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches that are in Christ. We appreciate that which God has filled us with. Do we not understand what God can do to lowly pieces of clay, even like you and me? If we'll but give ourselves over to His power and to His glory. There are those who are masters with clay. It's just hard for me to imagine this vase as a lump of clay. That vase is probably 2,500 years old. Still bearing on its surface the skills of an artisan, or perhaps a group of artisans in Greece. Do you not think that those things which God walks within your life will be eternal? God taking that which is lowly and despised and turning it into something that is of value. God attempts to do that every day. He did that with His own people. Turn with me to the book of Lamentations, chapter 4. Jeremiah wrote this passage as he looked upon a destroyed Jerusalem. A Jerusalem that represented, or should have represented to the people of his day, the power of God, the city of God, the dwelling place of God. And yet because God's people had turned to idolatry and failed to listen to the prophets such as Jeremiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, they were carried away into captivity. And a city that once was hustling and bustling and the seat of spiritual power was now deserted and crumbling. And what few remained were the refuse, the remnant. Listen to Jeremiah's lament, his wail over Jerusalem. Beginning with verse 1. How the gold has grown dim. How the pure gold is changed. The holy stones lay scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion worth their weight in fine gold. How they are reckoned as earthen pots. Who work? The potter's hand. You see the imagery? All that potential, all of that power that Jerusalem represented is gone. Like precious stones scattered on the streets, like gold strung back to its origins, so Israel, so Judah has lost that which God placed within them, and like the gold has been scattered, the pot has been broken. And all we see are the shards. All the possibilities, all the potential lost. This sad story, isn't it? What am I out of sight? I become like you. Or am I a vessel employed by God? Enabled, empowered, entrusted because of God's grace with the treasures of the kingdom. Our God can create out of lumps of clay those utensils would serve in this. We didn't look like each other when we started. And in this sense, we'll look like Christ. We may not look like each other when He's completed, because each vessel, whether it be for menial use or for uses of honor, will be developed as God sees fit. But to each of us, this requirement falls. I must give. I must give myself to His power. It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend. And then the dead in Christ from beds of clay shall rise to meet the Lord and King of yonder in the skies. I don't know how much time God has left for me. Certainly time is in His hands. He can make this world last forever if He chooses to. That's not mine. Well, I would fit it. But when I was young, we were playing in the pastor's welcome, and I think it was a game of hide and seek. But I can remember running behind a mesquite tree and dropping to my knees to hide. But what I remember more is what I knelt on. It was a mesquite tree, right there. You're in Oklahoma or Texas. Maybe the thorns aren't that long, but they sure seem like thorns were sharp and piercing. And I remember driving a mesquite thorn through the middle of my kneecap. You know, crying out in pain, jumping up and ripping it out. The gum through, punctured my Levi's rattled into my knee. I was reminded of that this week. As I was painting the house up there, I was kneeling along the bottom part of the side in order to paint, and a sharp pain radiated through my knee. Every time that happens, I go back to the mesquite trees and I think, well, it's not as bad as that time that I stuck that thorn. So those things remind us of, and we're over. Arms don't function like they should when our eyes begin to grow dim, when our knees swell, our ankles hurt, when our back seems always out of place, when our neck is stiff. What does that remind us of? We're just not made to last forever. But God will make vivid what he means. The golden view of his transcendent power. He will place that which in us is priceless. He will fill us possibly with mere utensils or with gold, certainly, for the gospel. And no matter how unbecoming, unpresentable, small and massive we may appear, with the Spirit of Christ within us and the grace of God filling us, we can become powerful instruments of God's will to accomplish his will. We must let him be our prophet. He will enable. He will empower. God will impress that which is a treasure. Won't you be open to him? Won't you become his child through the blood of Jesus? Allow him to wash away your sin? Or won't you rededicate yourself to his service with whatever time you have remained to do that which God calls for you to do, as we stand.